the decentralized autonomous organization, right? So they don't even think that they're an entity at all.
Well, they can't think.
Yes, they can't think because they don't have a brain. It's not artificial intelligence. But the people that created that didn't think of themselves as creating an entity, right? But in the law, we basically have humans and we have entities and we have contracts. And the court said, no, you are an entity. And because you didn't pick one, we're going to say you're a general partnership, which is probably the one they did not want to be, right? Because then you have fiduciary duties and then you have unlimited liability and all of those good or bad things, depending on how you see it. I love partnership law, so I see them as good things, but a lot of people see them as exactly what they did not want to have. So I read all of the joint venture cases that come up in a year, so now you know exactly how exciting my life is. But every court would say, this is a joint venture, so we apply general partnership law. And I just took that as a given. So I think this is
okay. And just to add one item to that, let me go back a slide or two to one thing just to make kind of clear. Here we go. It's just like this ACO development court case that you see cited about in the middle of the slide there. You will see this case and this layout of joint venture language pop up every now and then because there's it's crept into pattern jury instructions and it's in a lot of old cases. You know, the classic dig I always had of my litigation colleagues is they read the case law. They never read what the legislature wrote in the meantime. But, you know, we tried very much, those of us who were involved in rewriting Texas's partnership laws in the 1990s especially, to say there should be no difference between joint, there's no legal distinction between a joint venture or partnership. It's just the scope of the business that's going on there. That's where the law is pointed. That's where I think, Christine, you'd agree. Yeah. Beth, I'm sure you'd agree. That's where everybody is pointing across the country. But once in a while, somebody grabs onto this and has a slightly differently phrased test for what that is. And you couple that with throwing in the word joint venture for what really is, you know, you make a product. I bundle it with my product. We sell it together. We call it a joint venture, but what we really have is a supplier contract, a supplier arrangement, mm-hmm. and you get a cut of some money that comes from that. That's not what people are intending to be the classic co-ownership of a business for profit. Just wanted to go back to that. Now, we're repeating something that's come up a lot because of the famous enterprise products case and some other cases that have come up over the years. And, you know, you may be thinking we're beating a dead horse about this. But really, this comes up a lot when you're advising clients not on partnerships or entity formation, but when you're advising them just in entering into normal contracts where there's a repeated business dealings with the same parties or a long-term relationship. So I think it's still important we keep an eye on this and we step back and open our eyes when we're looking at what people are doing rather than just, you know, here's the contract and I'm trying to get it out as quickly as possible for them. But if the law comes to the conclusion that you are a partnership or you're a joint venture that's going to be treated as a partnership, you know, you've got to be careful about this definition that it's an association of two or more persons to carry on a business for profit as co-owners. Because what's the implication of that? There's no need for a written agreement. You know, that can be oral. That can just be a course of dealings with one another. But association implies some sort of agreement or arrangement, something consensual going on. So there has to be something, but it doesn't have to be some formal written agreement sitting out there. You don't have to self-identify as partners, as Christine pointed out a moment ago. The business does not have to have been conducted. It is an association to carry on a business, not that it has carried on a business. And that was an important point in the lower court decisions anyway, in the Enterprise Products Energy Transfer case that got so much attention. But it must be a business for profit. There are cases in Texas and cases in other states that say when the, I think one of them was an Elks Lodge, or one of them was something else, that people got together. It was for social things. Then it didn't have any cash, so somebody tries to sue all the members to get money. Well, they were never in a business for profit. So the court said that didn't apply. There's a case, it actually involves the South Texas nuclear plant, which is co-ownership of a nuclear plant in undivided interests by two utilities are now power generators because of the split that we did in Texas, two power generators that are privately owned, and then two municipal power authorities. They owned this large power plant together, the biggest power plant in the state, and ran it under a joint operating agreement, just like you'd run an oil and gas well, or you do something else where they share things. But the key thing to the, it came up in a court context because the county said, aha, we have this multi-billion-dollar project here. It's subject to taxes because it's a partnership, and partnerships are business entities. Well, the Corpus Christi Court of Appeals held, this is back in the 90s, that no, it's not, because each one takes its own bit of the power in kind and sells it for whatever price it chooses to. So there was never a sharing of profits in the business. Mm-hmm. So all of those things come together in interesting ways. And there's a lot of very interesting case law here and in other states when you have arrangements that get put together. They aren't denominated as partnerships or joint ventures, but they start to smell like one, and somebody wants to make someone liable or subject them to taxes or subject them to some other obligations, business opportunities, and so on, which Christine will get into in a little bit. Sorry, I'm stealing one of your bits coming forward.